This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In today's world, many tragedies and horrific events occur. They leave many of us simply stunned by the size and scope and magnitude of devastation. The pain and the suffering left in the wake of these ongoing, dreadful hardships can be so dire, brutal, and heartbreaking at times. We look for answers to such traumatic conditions only to be left with so many more unanswerable questions. It's as if the marks that are left in the aftermath are implicit that something unseen is behind all of this madness and chaos. Is there a force behind it all? Are we missing something? Is there an evil power that is working against mankind, hoping to destroy him or cause him to self-destruct in utter confusion? Stay with us as we attempt to address these questions on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, I don't know if it's just me, but have you noticed that it seems to be that crimes are becoming more macabre? I mean, have you noticed that there seems to be a tension building? Maybe it is just me, I don't know, but I think some of you know what I'm talking about, where it seems as though things are becoming more visceral, more vicious. I compare it with the time that I was brought up in the 50s. I remember my mom and my dad buying my first tricycle as they gave it to me out there on the driveway and going up and down with the little 8mm camera. No sound, of course. These were all silent movies. But nevertheless, they were all excited and clapping and encouraging me to go along and make some movement as I went ahead and rode my little tricycle. And then, of course, in respect to that, the neighbors, I mean, you could depend on your neighbors. I mean, this was a day and age where it was really amazing. I mean, you could literally, what a novel idea, you could literally go to the store, disappear for an hour, hour and a half, leave your house wide open, unlocked, come back and expect your house to be fully intact, as opposed to being cleaned out by somebody that went in there and stole all your furniture or your television or something along those lines. I remember, too, I was 9, 10, 11 years old. I'd go disappear with my buddies from late morning to early afternoon and come back at night, perhaps after the sun had set, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and my parents would fully expect me to return. Today, if that would happen, parents would be filled with all kinds of anxiety and intrepidation, wondering whether or not their child was abducted. And why do I say that? Because our headlines are loaded with, and so are news stories loaded with, different abductions, serial killers and stalkers throughout the cities of at least this part of the world, here in the United States and Canada, surrounding so much of it by drugs and prostitution and smuggling. I mean, even people of trust are found violating and victimizing those that they're entrusted to watch, like coaches and parents and ministers and police. Or, of course, many of us know the poster boy Bernie Madoff, who made off with $50 billion of his clients' money that symbolizes so much of the corruption on Wall Street that goes on a daily basis, as well as the politicians that we certainly know have, in some cases, rap sheets longer than some of the prisoners that are right now incarcerated in jails. Corruption of the highest magnitude, whether it's in politics, whether it's in education, whether it's in finance or the military. My friends, I ask this question to essentially say this: what are we seeing? Who is really responsible for these trends that we see in our society today? And where Is it leading us? Well, before I begin to answer these questions, I want to present to you our two free offers, both of them again, and I want to make mention here, are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial that 888 number, 578-8791. Ask the operator for both of these offers. The first one, a small booklet titled, The Devil, You Say. A second offer, a one-hour presentation by a minister of the Church of God International titled, Dealing with Demons. That's right, a one-hour presentation that both of these items will augment and complement what I'm attempting to talk about that I will only, frankly, be able to cover the, or scratch, I guess you could say, the surface about. So dial that number, 888-578-8791, and don't forget about that website there at www.cgi.org. There's so much more there for your perusal and consideration. I know you'll find something there that will help you in building your relationship with God our Father and Jesus Christ. And oh, by the way, let me remind you of our feature there every Saturday, my friends. You can connect up there on our website, follow the link, and enjoy a webcasting experience from a live presentation of a minister every Saturday. You hit during the week, find out what times that will occur, hit the link on the website, and rendezvous with us for about, 45 minutes or so there, and enjoy the message that comes across your computer on the internet there at our webcasting time. So one more time now for those two free offers. Offers as well, 888-578-8791, and the website. You can go ahead, just send us your information, and we'll get those items out to you there at www.cgi.org. Now, let's get back to the program here as we were discussing these trends that we're seeing all around us. And I know many of you would agree. I mean, I'm a baby boomer. I was born in the 50s, brought up in the 50s. In my teens, I was a child of the 60s. But I know if you're like me, you've seen tremendous changes over the last, for that matter, 10 years, let alone 30, 40, and 50 years. I don't know what caused the, you could say, golden times of the 50s and the early 60s. Perhaps it was the exhale, I figuratively say that, from World War II and the post-war environment that we found ourselves in after fighting a world war on two fronts, the Atlantic and the Pacific, the Nazis and the Japanese. But whatever it was, it definitely, and I think many of you would agree, was indeed a different time. I mean, we're living in a time now when men can marry men. That's right. Or when it's legal now where you can literally get your physiognomy changed legally. And if you're a boy, physically be changed into a girl or vice versa. Or if you think that you're a girl when you're a boy, that's okay. And especially if you live in Washington, D.C., because in Washington, D.C., you don't even need to get your sex changed. All you've got to do is say, I'm a girl, if you're a boy, or vice versa, and get your birth certificate changed. And guess what? They'll go ahead and honor that, giving you a right to go into the ladies' bathroom. Or if you're a man, you can file for a minority business, if you're in business for yourself, saying that you're owned by a woman because you think you're a woman. I mean, it's almost crazy, if you know what I'm talking about. Hey, today we can kill our unborn children. When was that ever able to be done? That's right, killing our unborn children. Or for that matter, getting not married. That's right, not getting married at all. Just living together, having children with no stigmatization associated with it. I mean, it's just normalized. And you know, my friends, that's the point. Things that are and were considered to be abnormal are now being considered normal. And here's what I want to talk about. These trends are coming from a source that many people do not give any credence to. They don't consider the fact that the source is from an unseen world that we are surrounded by. Oh yeah, that's right. Now you may say, and I know you may say this, Bill, you're paranoid. Hey, Just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they're not chasing me, if you know what I'm saying. And just because I'm talking about this doesn't dismiss the fact that it is indeed a reality that we're surrounded by, my friends. Notice something over here in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. I want to bring your attention to this particular topic as the Apostle Paul writes this point. And it's a point well taken, I think, for all of us to consider. Verse 1, chapter 2, book of Ephesians, he states, "And you has he quickened," that is, he's basically inspired now, "who were dead in your trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Did you catch that? You walked according to the course of this world. You were engulfed in the trends of this world. You were taken over by the momentum of what was going on in the world. And consequently, you got caught up in the enthusiasm, the excitement, and the distraction of the world. And what was driving a lot of it was, as pointed out here, the prince of the power of the air. Now let me pick up where I left off here on verse 2. And it says here in this particular case, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's right, my friends. This prince of the power of the air actually works in two distinct ways, two broad categories, methods, if you will, whereby he can vex you from externally influencing your mind and your ideas and your emotions, or he can possess you, which is a bit more intense, needless to say. But here in verse 3, again, I want to point this out to you. We'll put it up on the screen for you. Here it is. "Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others were," or others, period. You see, my friends, in this particular case, what we are being told is that essentially we were the children that were subjected to the influences of this prince of the power of the air. And what Paul is trying to tell the Christians here at Ephesus is there's far more to this life than meets the eye that impacts and has effects in our nature. By nature, mankind is selfish. You know that as well as I do. I think from the start, when we're born, parents automatically, immediately come to grips with realizing their child is very selfish. It's, wah, you know, I want to be fed. Wah, I want my diaper changed. You know, it's, I'm not comfortable. I need to be more comfortable. And right away, what do we do as parents? We have to serve our children and do what we can as we are half in the bag sleeping because we aren't getting rest because the baby is keeping us up all night. And Paul here is attempting to tell us, you see, that nature is exploited oftentimes by the prince of the power of the air. Now we're going to put it up on the screen again. Go with me over here to Ephesians chapter 6. That's right, chapter 6, and over here in verse 12. It's up on the screen. Here we are. "For we wrestle," it says here, "for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Oh yeah, my friends, look at this. "Against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Or, as another translation would state it, "wicked spirits in high places." My friends, this Bible of yours is salt and peppered with experiences of interactions of spirit beings breaking the veil of our human dimension and literally interacting, sometimes not, but also nevertheless still interacting with each other in another dimension, an invisible dimension. Over in the book of Jude, verse 9, there's only one chapter in the book of Jude, but in verse 9, you can read about Michael contending with Satan, the devil of all things, over the body of Moses. That's right. He was arguing, and the Greek illustrates they were arguing over the body of Moses. For what reason? The Bible's really not clear on that, but it is very clear on the fact that there was a contention between these two awesome spirit beings, and Michael had to call on Jesus to get Satan to stand down. If you read over there, and we'll turn there for a moment, over in Daniel, the book of Daniel, and in chapter 10, notice this particular chapter, the book of Daniel, and in chapter 10, we read of a visitation. We'll put it up on the screen here. Notice this. In verse 11, the angel says unto me, Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you. That is, understand the words that I speak unto you. And stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. Notice this now, verse 12 of chapter 10, book of Daniel. For from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before God, your words were heard, and I am come unto you for your words. But notice this, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So here we see an angel wanting to come to Daniel upon Daniel's first communications with God, but was held up for 21 days by this alleged demon of Persia, the king of Persia. And then he mentions again, and here again, we'll put it up on the screen for you to read. Notice this over here in verse 20. Then said he, knowest you wherefore I come unto you? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. In this particular case. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And so here we find ourselves again in this particular case, contending with spirits in other dimensions, my friends. Other dimensions that are all around us. And it goes to this fact of a long history of this demon named Satan the devil, who rebelled literally tens of thousands, if not perhaps even billions of years ago. Let me turn your attention over here to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Notice this over here, just a few pages back, the book of Isaiah, and in chapter 14, I want to bring your attention to a little history of the present condition that we have. Notice again, read along with me if you will. In chapter 14, verse 12, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now, that's a Latin term. Lucifer was a translation by the King James translators. It comes from the Hebrew word Halel. Halel, and that means to a star of light. That's right, a star of light, my friends, and rightly so here as he goes on and he says, son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Oh yeah, my friends, he will ascend to heaven in this particular case. And I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet, and God says this, you shall be brought down to hell, or the grave, Sheol in the Hebrew, to the sides of the pit in this particular case. What we see here, and what we read, is apparently Satan the devil became filled with pride and attempted to raise himself up above God. That's right, my friends. You can read more of the story, that's right, over in Ezekiel chapter 28, where in the book of Ezekiel we find more of the description of this spirit being, covering cherub as he was described at one time. There, right alongside Gabriel and Michael at the very throne of God in the book of Ezekiel, we're told. He was there even in the Garden of Eden along with Adam and Eve. He was a beautiful being. He was a all-knowing, knowledgeable being, one of God's greatest creations that he had made, and it's stated as such right there. But iniquity was found in him. And if you read read over there in the book of Ezekiel and read down through those particular verses, you will see what I mean over as it's described in that particular chapter. But I want to illustrate to you in all of this scenario. Upon that rebellion, Jesus says in Luke 10, and go back with me over here to the book of Luke. I want to take your attention over here to let you see this for yourself in the book of Luke and in chapter 10. And again, we're going to put it up there on the screen for you. Notice this, in chapter 10, verse 18, and he said unto them, that's right, Jesus said, and he said unto them, in this particular case, regarding what you are about to hear me read, he says, Satan, as lightning, he beheld. Did you see that? Jesus says, and I said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And that Greek word literally means, my friends, that he saw him fall. He was a spectator falling on earth and saw him fall to earth in that particular regard. So here now we find a history with Satan the devil, who has indeed gone ahead and rebelled, had attempted to try to raise his own little throne of what authority that he had above God. God wasn't going to have any of it. Threw him down to this earth. And as pointed out, and I'll turn to that scripture here a little bit later, but you will see that he, Satan, took one third of all the holy angels with him, and today those angels are confined on this planet, walking amongst us, influencing us where they can, whether it be in our minds through thoughts, whether it be in our emotions and feelings. It's so very important, my friends, that we stay away from these kinds of influences. The proverbial good angel and bad angel on one person's shoulder is not all that far off in many respects as you begin to understand the realities that we're dealing with. Notice over here in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians. Let me turn your attention over here to the book of 2 Corinthians and in chapter 4. Chapter 4, notice, we'll put it up on the screen there for you to see. We read here in this particular case where we are told by Paul, notice 2 Corinthians verse 4, chapter 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is the image of God should shine unto them. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? Notice, he says here, let me bring your attention back to it. Look at this. In whom the God of this world, the God of this world. That's why Paul is saying that he is the God of this world, at least for the time. A lot of people are confused about why the world is the way it is, and that maybe Satan is more powerful than God. No, 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 no. God has a plan, my friends. Unfortunately for most people, they don't have a clue of what God's plan is. And therein lies, frankly, the reason for so much confusion with respect to what good and evil is doing and why there is so much evil. For the time, Satan has been allowed a certain amount of freedom to work his dastardly deeds among us. And for those who are subject to partying with the devil, as they would say, are more than welcome to do so. On the other hand, if you choose not to, that too is also free for your choosing to make sure that you don't become part and parcel to this demonic influence of Satan the devil. But I want you to notice over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, one more time, a very interesting point to keep in mind in verse over here 14, notice it says, and don't marvel, Paul says, don't be surprised at this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's right, my friends. Satan, the devil, is transformed into an angel of goodness. That's what your Bible is talking about. Now, time is running out on me. I want to bring your attention, though, over to Matthew chapter 4. I'm not going to turn there. I'm just going to reference it. There you will see the temptation of Jesus Christ with Satan the devil confronting him. And Satan makes a unique offer in that third temptation. He says, if you bow down to me, Jesus, if you bow down to me, I will give you the power of influence over all the kingdoms of the world. And you know what's so interesting about this? I don't know if you've ever noticed this, my friends, but Jesus does not debate that issue. He doesn't even dispute that point that Satan is over the top. He doesn't say, hey, Satan, you don't have the authority to offer that because you're not in control of it. No, my friends. Actually, Jesus' silence to this point, to this issue, is illustrative of his agreement with the Apostle Paul, who later on, in years later, stated that he is indeed the God of this world, and he has been transformed into an angel of light. So don't be surprised. And as a matter of fact, we'll put this up on the screen for you as well over in the book of Revelation. And in chapter 12, as the Apostle Paul confirms in the writings of the book of Revelation, notice this, chapter 12. And over there in verse 9, we read, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. In this particular case, it says here, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Notice verse 4. I didn't read it, but I'm going to read it right now. Verse 4, we'll crossfade there. To his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her. This is all symbolism regarding Christ and the church. But the point is, in the course of this discussion and narration, you find that one third of all the angelic host followed this demon in his rebellion. And so today, he is on this earth. Confined for a time, God is on a mission, and God is in control. Satan is limited in his influences, my friends, and we want to help you better understand this truth. So won't you call right now, 888-578-8791. Ask for both of the free offers that we have for you today. And again, I emphasize this fact, they are free. The devil, you say. A booklet? Oh, it's about 30, 40 pages long. You can certainly, though, still be able to read it in one sitting, and I think get through it, and it's quite interesting. I think it will hold your interest securely as you go through the pages of all the information it has to offer you there, because I've only scratched the surface on it. And in addition, a one-hour presentation titled Dealing with Demons. Both of these offers, free for the asking. Nobody's going to be calling you for money. All you've got to do is dial that 888 number, 578-8791, or hit us on that website at www.cgi.org. My friends, this is Bill Watson, reminding you always to be on your guard. You keep on that armor of God, as we constantly remind you, so that you can truly, indeed, be able to stand in these evil times.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.